everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Hey, happy anal sex month. In honor of this very sexy time of year, I have Dr. Charlie Glickman in the studio. Charlie is a renowned sexologist and sex coach, plus he's pretty much the expert on all things prostate play. So hold on to your seats. It's going to be a good one. Okay, everyone, you've been hearing me talk about my Emily and Tony massage candles, right? Do you really understand, though, what a massage candle is? Because I got to explain this to you. So they're like regular candles, right? They look beautiful, sit on your nightstand. And as we all know, candles, they set the atmosphere. But these are the most luxurious candles because not only do they smell amazing, they're aromatherapy, vanilla, coconut, fougere, but after you light them, they also turn into the most luxurious massage oil that you can pour in your partner, give them a massage, because, you know, massage is a great way to warm your partner up for sex and just to even get to know, to relax. Everyone's so stressed out all the time. So I think you should give a massage to your partner. And I gotta be honest, you guys, I don't always have someone to give a massage to. I lay one every single night and I just pour it on myself and I use it as a moisturizer. I mean, come on, sometimes I got someone to massage. But it's coconut oil and soybean oil and you'll love it. Go to emilyandtony.com. Use code Emily and you get 20% off your order. Plus, for a limited time, you get a free Down Under Comfort when you purchase a full-size aromatherapy fougere candle with code LEO. The offer expires August 17th. So check it out. You will love it. It'll change your sex life forever. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can check out all of our podcasts, sign up for our mailing list, and do so many fun things there. And you know, we are updating our blogs and every single day with information that will change your life, change your sex life, your relationship, and it's a good time over there at Sex with Emily. So check it out and subscribe to the podcast. We release 2 a week. And so if you subscribe on iTunes, it's so easy and you'll never miss a show again. Because who wants to miss it, right, Dr. Charlie? Hi, Dr. Charlie.
Such a pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
It's been like you've been on the show in the past, probably 3 years ago.
Something.
In San Francisco, when we were both in San Francisco. I've known you for a while.
It's true.
And you're just, your anal career is just taken off. It's really impressive. I see you at the conferences. Speaking of which, I got to talk about She, Sexual Health Expo. We're both going to be there. It's going to be September 18th to 20th in New York City, and we're giving away free tickets. So email me feedback@sexwithemily.com and tell me why you want to go. We're giving away 2 tickets per winner. So do that. And don't do that. You were the last. I mean, they're fun, right? And
people, I've been to all of them.
Like, what is it? People come in. It's like they learn. Like, what are you teaching?
Oh, it's a blast. I'll be talking about prostate play. But there's workshops, there's vendors, there's folks to talk to, community groups are there. It's a fun, fun time.
It is a good time. And I'll be giving the keynote. And so, yeah, come see us there. I get to see you at all the conferences, but we never get to sit here and really get into everything. And you're in LA now, which I love, because you're teaching 2 workshops, which sound pretty friggin' amazing.
They are going to be fun.
August 20th. People can find out more of the details on your website. Mm-hmm.
CharlieGlickman.com and also MakeSexEasy.com.
I like Make. That's your new URL, right? MakeSexEasy?
Yeah, that's my coaching page.
I love it. Where you coach, you do everything. So there's one on August 25th. Oh, at Hustler Hollywood.
No, that's not me.
No? Why does it say Hustler Hollywood? Oh, that's mine.
That's yours.
Sorry. What's going on here? I'm teaching an anal sex workshop. Sorry, I don't want to trump your thing.
Oh, you are.
On August 25th from 8 to 10. Mine is called Backdoor Basics. And if you want to go to this workshop, check it out. All of our workshops have been great. I wasn't even getting to my workshop right now, but since I messed up, I will. RSVP to HHRSVP at LVLFP.com, LarryFlintProductions.com. And it's great because people show up and it's like intimate. People are like, oh, I'm not going to go to anal sex workshop. But you get people to go to your workshops. And I mean, yours are hands-on craziness, Love that. And there's the two you're teaching here, August 8th.
7th. August 7th.
Okay.
Well, there's August two. 7th. There's
okay,
two.
Tell me everything.
August 7th at 7 to 10 p.m. in Santa Monica, Awesome Anal Sex. And that one includes a live demo of anal massage, which is everything you need to know to get your partner warmed up before doing other fun stuff. And then on the 8th, 2:30 to 5:30, also in Santa Monica, Embodied Consent, which is all about how you can feel into your yes, your no, and your maybe so that you can have the best sex you possibly can. And information is all on my website.
Okay, cool. And we're going to get more into embodied consent later. But I want to get into your hands-on workshops. So tell me, you're teaching people to this workshop how to warm their partner up, men and women.
Absolutely.
Sex.
Absolutely.
So break down this workshop for me.
Okay. So, 90% of great anal sex is in your hands. And that doesn't mean that that's 90% of the time you spend having anal sex. But if you can get your partner warmed up with your hands, then everything else is golden. So that's the most important part. And one of the things that I hear from men, from women, people who have tried anal sex and have said that it just didn't work, they say, oh, my partner went too fast, it was painful, or I didn't know what I was doing, and my partner started saying that it hurt. You got to warm your partner up. It's just like stretching before you work out at the gym.
I know. And I feel like there's so many people who are like, oh, I had a bad experience once. I was drunk. Someone stuck it in. We had no lube. It hurt. And then they sign, forever they write off anal sex.
Oh, that's terrible.
Right. Exactly. So that's, you're kind of rewiring their brains and telling them that it can actually be a really pleasant experience.
Exactly. And the reason why I do the live demo workshops is I can tell you to slow down and maybe you'll slow down from a 10 to a 7, but I want you at a 3.
Okay.
And so by demonstrating it, people can actually
understand the pace. What do you demonstrate? So you have a model?
So I've got a model on the massage table. And
naked?
Naked. And I've got gloves on my hands. I've got some lube on my hands. And I'm demonstrating external massage techniques and then internal, how to get your fingers inside in a way that feels good.
Okay. For men, and what is your model, a woman?
This time, but it changes. It just depends on who's available.
So it's the same then?
It's the same. The anal anatomy is the same for people of any gender.
Right.
So the basics are the same. It's just the question of what you do with all the parts.
I have to come to one of your workshops.
You really should. It'll be fun.
I know. I can't believe I haven't. Well, I think it's great, all the work that you're doing, Charlie. Really.
Thank you.
I mean, your book, Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure. Because I feel like this is really like the time, for some reason, I feel like actually, you're going to help me answer some questions. We have some from listeners at the end. Everyone wants to know about pegging and prostate play and anal sex. I just feel like it's... Awesome. It's in the ether.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot.
This is your time.
Well, and
you're the king of it.
That's lovely. Can I put that on my resume?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I just crowned you king.
Excellent. Yeah. No, but there's so many nerve endings there. And if you know what you're doing, you can make anal play feel awesome. But if you don't know what you're doing, it can be painful. It can be uncomfortable. I've talked to couples that nearly broke up because of the pain that they were having around it. Well, one of the problems is people copy what they see in porn. And in porn, they do all of their warm-up before they turn the cameras on.
Right.
They use lube. They just put it in before they get on set. So learning to have sex from watching porn is like learning to drive from watching a car chase movie. Someone's going to get hurt.
That is great. That's a great way to put it. No, I always say the same thing. It's like you really should. I mean, it's okay. No problem with porn, but just don't technically learn how to do it, which is why so many people are writing off anal sex and not having a good time. So, but do you really think, even if they go to your workshop and you teach them everything, do you think anal sex is for everyone?
No. There's nothing that works for everybody. Not when it comes to sex, not when it comes to food. But a lot more people would enjoy it if they knew what they were doing.
Okay.
And, it's funny. I've talked with a lot of my coaching clients who have said, oh, I don't like it. I tried it once. It wasn't any good. And then they learned how to do it right. And all of a sudden, they're a fan.
Right. They become a fan after because they're like, so I want to know, like, what, walk me through, like I just said, like, walk me through the workshop. But, like, yeah, how do you do it? How do you teach people how to warm up? Can you explain it without, like, I know we can't. Unless Madison wants to get on the table and be a model right now, but
not right.
You're not prepared. Okay, cool.
We've got some massage candles.
Have the massage candles.
No,
they're not for internal use.
No,
but yeah.
But
like, what are the misconceptions and what do you kind of debunk?
Okay, I always start off with the anatomy.
Okay.
Because if you don't know the landscape, you're not going to know how to get there.
Right.
And there's some useful things to know. Like, a lot of people don't realize that the anus, it tightens up when you get stressed out. Like, think about when a cat or a dog gets scared and they tuck their tail under to protect themselves. This is why people who are stressed out all the time, we call them tight asses. It's literally true. But it doesn't matter where the stress is coming from. If you've had a bad day at work, you've been stuck in traffic, you are worried about it hurting, you're going to tighten up, and that's going to make it uncomfortable, and then it tightens up more, and then it becomes painful. So I always start off talking about the anatomy so that people can understand how to do the relaxation. The second thing is, when I talk about anal play, I'm not talking about anal intercourse. That's fun stuff, but there's all kinds of things you can do with your hands, you can do with toys. So if you are giving your partner a blowjob and you're tickling around the outside with your finger, in my book, that is still anal sex, because it's sex that includes the anus.
Right, okay.
So one of the things that will make it easier is take anal intercourse off the table for the first couple times, no pressure. The more pressure you have on a goal, the harder it is to get there.
It's true. It's absolutely true. The more you release, like, all the pressure. I mean, there are so many, I'm just going to say heterosexual. I mean, I do hear it from a lot of women. They're like, there's so much pressure. My partner, he's pressuring me. I don't want to do, and it becomes like this whole thing in the relationship. And it's the last thing they want to do, yeah. The way men, or anyone's asking for it if you don't want to do it because someone's had a bad experience, or people are afraid of it.
Yeah, and that happens.
There's so much fear.
And that happens with any kind of sex. But like I said, when you're stressed or when you're scared, you tighten up.
And so you teach people like relaxing, like breathing exercises.
Yeah, I teach them breath work exercises to help them relax. I teach them some external massage techniques. There's all kinds of things you can do externally. Your fingers and your hands are some of your most sensitive sex organs.
So where do you start? Because I always say, just don't go, I start with your fingers, just massaging around the anus, use lube.
Yeah.
But don't I know?
I can teach you about a dozen different massage techniques.
Wow. This is going to be quite a month here.
I can't really explain it.
It's hard to explain. You got to see it. So they can check out they get your book, come to one of your workshops.
Absolutely.
And it's all on your website.
Absolutely.
Okay. So my question, we're going to get more into anal play, but I want to go back to, first of all, how did you even get into this field? How did this become your specialty? Because I know we met in San Francisco and you were working at Good Vibrations as a sex educator, and then this has become your passion, your work, life work.
Well, I have to give credit where credit is due. My book partner, Aislinn Amirzian, she was one of my coworkers at Good Vibrations, and it was her idea to write the book on prostate play. Because she noticed that we had all kinds of books and videos about the G-spot, and there wasn't anything about the prostate. So she started writing it, and then I got on board a couple of months later, about 4 or 5 months. And the more I talked with people about it, whether it was clients, whether it was just folks at workshops, the more I realized that here's this untapped pleasure potential that folks just don't know about. So when I became a somatic sex educator, a sexological body worker is another word for it. I do hands-on sex education.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the somatic sex work. Can you explain that to people? Explain what it is, somatic sex educator. A lot of people don't know what that is.
So what I do is I teach people how to be present in their bodies when they're turned on. A lot of people, when we get aroused, we tune out, we check out, we're not really present, we fantasize. I don't think there's anything wrong with fantasy. But when you are so focused on the movie in your head that you're not paying any attention to your partner, that can be a problem.
Right. Or the voices or the negativity, negative thoughts, criticisms, all of that.
So I use a lot of different techniques to teach people how to stay present in their bodies, how to identify their desires, how to tell their partner what they want, how to ask for what they need. There's a lot to it.
So this is your coaching that you do most. So you work with couples and individuals, or is it mostly like couples that come in?
Both. I do a lot of work with individuals and couples. And sometimes one person in a couple will come to see me, and then the partner decides, oh, wait a minute, this is actually doing some good here. I want to come too.
So tell me about, can you give me an example of a couple that comes in and walk me through the process?
Sure. Well, let's see. So, lately I've been getting a few different clients who are women in their 40s or 50s or 60s, their kids are out of the house, maybe they've never been happy with their sex life, or maybe it used to be great, but they've just gotten tired doing the same thing over and over and over again, and they want to explore something new, and it can be safer to do that with someone who's not your partner, because it's not about me.
Right.
I can totally focus on them, and we can figure out, you know,
give me an example. So you're doing hands-on, like,
well,
with
so,
them?
Well, so, it, there's, so there's a whole progress.
I know there's some, right.
Right, before we even get to the hands-on work, you know, there's communication, there's boundaries. But, like, one of the techniques, one of the modalities I do is called pleasure mapping, which is literally trying lots of different hand massage. I stay fully clothed. I'm wearing gloves. But I am doing different kinds of erotic massage. And they're telling me as they experience it, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good does this feel? And then I can say to them, oh, you know, you really like very firm pressure on your clitoris, or you right. like massage on your outer labia or on the head of your cock or whatever it is.
Right.
And then they can go home and tell their partner, oh, what I want you to do is ABC.
Wow.
You know, imagine what it would be like if more women could say to their partners, I really like firm circles on my G-spot and light tickles on my clitoris at the same time,
yes.
or whatever it is.
And it's so funny, because we always talk about communication on the show, but you're really taking it to the next level, really, because I just say, you know, spend time masturbating. And even if they do that, they know how they orgasm. It's not so easy with a partner because it's a whole different thing. They're not alone in their room and, you know, doing with their toys or their faces or whatever they do. And it's much more challenging for them because it actually feels different, too, when you're with
It's very different with another person.
Right.
And part of what
I teach them that language.
Teach them how to put into words so that they can talk about it with their partner.
Do they tell their partners that this guy's like rubbing my labia, this massage?
Yeah.
And partners are down with it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, not all of them are.
I'm sure they're like, who is this guy?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm also happy to talk with partners if they need reassurance. You know, we can have a phone call, we can meet in person or over Skype. And I can talk to them about what I do. If they want to sit and watch a session and check it out, they're welcome to do that.
Right.
You know, I don't want anybody to keep secrets, but I also respect people's privacy.
Yeah, because this is like a major one. But I get it. So a woman comes in and you're doing all this stuff and then you bring her to orgasm?
Sometimes.
Right.
But with what I do, the orgasm isn't the goal.
Right.
It's the learning is the goal. So sometimes there's an orgasm, sometimes there isn't. But what makes it a successful session is if someone can walk out of the room and they've learned something new.
Right.
And so I've had clients who, you know, I have a client who has never had an orgasm.
I was just going to ask that. Yeah.
And, you know, she was able to learn how to have an orgasm through our work together. And once she did, we stopped working because that was her goal. If she had come up with another goal, then we could have continued working together. But the orgasm is not the
end. So she had never had one in her life? She had had...
Not with a partner. She'd been able to by herself.
Well, see, this is the thing. So did you have intercourse with her, actually?
No.
Because even yesterday, I was like, I don't want to say what it is, like working with someone. She was like, oh, like, hey, I've never had... That's my common... I've never had it with a partner. What do I do? You know? And so you actually... But by not having intercourse with her... Just showing her you were using your hands, you were using, and then she could take that back to her partner.
Exactly. All of my work, I stay fully clothed, touches one way from me to them, and I'm wearing gloves. So there's a lot of safety that's built into
that. No, I know,
that.
Of course, yeah. Of course. No, I think you're totally above board, of course. I know, honey, I know you are. I'm just saying, but that's so interesting. She never in her life, and then she figured it out. I mean, there's so many women like that who can't. Like with their partner. And what do you think that is that so many women can't? Do you think it's just because they haven't taken the time to learn, or do you think it's just they're in their heads too much? And what do you find the problem to be? There's like not a one-size-fits-all answer.
Sometimes it's because, you know, some people's sexual desire is really idiosyncratic. Like it has to be this one thing. Sometimes it's that they don't know how to feel safe and relaxed with a partner. You know, if you're always dating jerks, then you're not going to feel safe enough to feel comfortable enough to have an orgasm. Sometimes it's body image issues and they're worried about looking silly and, you know, their O-face and what's he going to think. And sometimes it's, you know, religious shame.
Right.
There's a lot.
There's so much going on there. So you have them tease it out. And I'm sure the first sessions are kind of talking through their history and their background.
Yeah.
And this is such important work.
Thank you.
Okay. So then when the couples come in, how does that work? You're like, well, what do you desire? What do you, you know, and then do you ever... You help them connect sexually?
Yeah, so they're not having intercourse either. But like, for example, I might demonstrate erotic massage techniques and then coach the other partner through how to do it. Because, you know, you actually have to learn how to touch.
You do have to learn how to touch.
A lot of people
and talk and communicate, all that stuff. People think
So think of me as sort of a GPS. It's like, okay, you've been doing this move for the last minute or two. Now try this other thing. Okay, now use this other hand and explore that. So I'm guiding them through it and helping them stay connected to each other. It's a lot of fun.
I mean, no, that is fun because you really have learned. So you're with someone and it's like, because everyone is different and has different desires and needs. And so you really are present with these people and you're realizing like what comes next because you're seeing how they're reacting and you're asking them this very like scientific way, like saying 1 through 10, how are you feeling? And you know where to, it is like a GPS.
And this is a really fun game you can do with a lover too, is you go into it like a science lab, right? Not, the goal is just to learn and try different things out, kiss different parts of their body, tickle different places, use your different oral sex techniques. And each time you do something, ask your partner on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is, oh, wow, that's amazing, don't ever stop. And 1 is, you know, let's put on Netflix. where on that scale?
Depends what's on Netflix, but yeah.
It's true. But where is this one thing? And it doesn't mean that 3 is bad, because the best sex happens when you ramp up and down. It's like when you eat spicy food and then you've got some yogurt sauce, some raita, some chutney. If you only add more spicy, your taste buds numb out.
Right.
And the same thing, you know, do the thing that's a 9 and then do the 3 and then do the 7 and then do the 4. You do the up and down and your partner will actually have a better orgasm.
It's so true because you're building and building. And so we are so, I mean, I always say that too, people have to just go so much slower than you think. But it's even, that's interesting, the up and the down and up and the down, because that is what is the hottest thing. But I think that we're so wired that we're going to lose it.
Yeah,
that it's gonna go away. I'm so close. And then teaching people that, you know, you can stay in that equilibrium and that balance and go up and down.
It's like a roller coaster.
I feel like everybody should take one of these courses. I'm coming. I want to come take one. It is like a roller coaster.
Yeah, up and down. It's much more fun. So yeah, I do a lot of work with that, and I love working with couples. It's really fun.
I'm sure you are can you give me an example of a couple who came in with like A and left with like B? Like they came in, they're like, we haven't been down. I'm sure you have couples who have been together for a while, sex life's gotten a little stale, or they don't connect anymore, or she's never had an orgasm, and then...
Or they're just doing the same old.
Right, same old in and out.
And actually, I had a couple recently come in. They were really interested in trying prostate massage. They'd never done it before.
Okay.
They'd read about it, and she was super, super nervous. You know, she was just worried about hurting him. And so the same thing, he was on the table, and I talked her through step by step. Okay, now you're going to do this. Now you're going to do that. And they emailed me about a week later saying, oh, wow, we tried this at home for the first time last night. And it was awesome. You know, and they wouldn't have known what to do before.
Is that the kind of thing that you can that you have to, like, it's hands-on because you have to kind of see it to teach it? Like, you can't?
For some people. You know, if you're someone who, if you can read a cookbook and then make the recipe...
I can't.
Yeah,
I
have trouble with that. But some people really need the hands-on work. Other people can read a book or read a website. So it's nice to have different options.
So prostate massage for men, I mean, there is such a stigma. A lot of men, you know, I'm always saying, like, try it. Like, what if it's the best thing you've ever experienced in your life and you're going to die and you never experience, you know, what if you have the most amazing, or I always say, what if you're on your deathbed and you find, I'm like, who's going to be on their deathbed getting a prostate massage? You never know. And, it feels amazing. But, you know, there is this, men think it's because they're gay, or they think it's, you know, it'll make them gay, it'll make them whatever. They have no idea about these sensations that they can feel. And now I'm wondering, I know that, again, it's not the same for everybody. Would you say that most men, though, that you have had pleasure from this, or is there any men who are like, nope, you did it, Charlie, because you're the guy. Like, if I was a guy and I wanted, I'd go to you. But I'm sure, I mean, are there any men who are like, nope, it doesn't feel good, it didn't work?
You know, there are definitely guys who it doesn't work for. But the thing that I always want to tell men is that where your nerve endings are, that's what kind of sex feels good to you. Who you want to have sex with, that's your sexual orientation. And those two things are not the same thing.
Right, exactly.
Just like who you like to eat dinner with is different from what foods you like. It's always about sex and food for me.
Right, it is. No, so, it totally makes sense, though. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, is that when we wrote the book, The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure, we surveyed over 200 people, men and partners, asking them about their experiences, and we found that the fear of does this mean something about my sexual orientation was one of the big worries that kept
the
guys
barriers,
from
yeah.
trying it. And the interesting thing is that men who experience anal massage, who receive it, become better givers because you know what it feels like. You know, I mean, why would you, if you went to a
spa, become better givers sexually?
Well, because, you know, men who have never received penetration, sex happens outside your body. And it's only when you receive penetration that you realize, oh, I can be super turned on, really into my partner, and still need lots of foreplay.
Right.
And so you become a much more patient giver. And so the partners of men, especially women, say that, wow, now that we've done this, he's much more aware of my needs before we have intercourse, and it's just made his sex life much better. So,
and so to explain to me the prostate massage with men, like, is it the kind of thing where it's just be people who, like, let's really pretend people have just heard about it, but they don't even get it. Like, is it the kind of thing where, you know, if you're starting out, you would just recommend that, you know, a partner does it to their part, you know, the two partners do it together, or they kind of work it into their lovemaking, or it's a standalone act, or, you know, they're using toys. I mean, how would you suggest people start?
Well, let me start off by saying how I don't want anyone to start. Perfect. Which is, I don't want anyone to surprise their partner with anal penetration.
Never. It goes both ways, men and women across the board.
Yeah,
never.
We don't want anyone to be surprised, right? Because that's just no fun. I think prostate massage is easier when it's partnered because it's kind of hard to reach on yourself. If you're going to do it solo, use a toy.
Use, like, which toy? Like the Aneros?
The Aneros is a really good one. It's a hands-free prostate massager. I'm a big fan. You can also use a dildo. Mm-hmm. As long as it's more than about 4 or 5 inches long,
okay. It'll
reach the prostate.
Okay. So you're saying recommend it with a partner, though?
Yeah,
so
it's a little bit easier with a partner.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, there's all the external stuff, and I talk about it in the book and in my workshops and all of that. But once you have a finger inside, the prostate, it's actually a lot like the G-spot for women. So
right, that's what we say. It's a male G-spot.
Yeah. You insert a finger, curl it towards the belly button, and you're looking for something about an inch across. It feels like a ripe plum. So soft and firm at the same time. The tricky thing about finding the prostate is that it gets bigger when you get turned on because it
just like the G-spot.
Exactly. It fills up with fluid, and that's actually where semen comes from, part of semen, the fluid. So if your partner isn't turned on enough yet, you might be in exactly the right spot, but you might not feel it because it hasn't gotten bigger.
Right.
That's less true for older men because prostates just get bigger as men get older. 50% of men by age 50 have an enlarged prostate.
Okay, right. I've heard
that. So if you're with a guy who's 25, you might need to get him super turned on.
Like, give him a blowjob.
Exactly.
Would you even suggest having sex first?
Sure.
Okay, have sex.
Blowjob, watch a dirty movie.
So have him come. Talk. Have him ejaculate or just get him turned on?
Get him turned on.
Okay, and then flip him over.
And then on his back or face down, whatever feels easier. I like on his back because you can do face to face.
Oh, on his back,
you know,
and then
because then you can see each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But
if you're with a guy who's in his 50s, his baseline size is probably bigger, so you might not need to get him as turned on.
Okay.
To find it.
So let's talk about younger men, though. So okay, you're so giving you a blowjob, he's turned on, and then he stays on his back.
Right. And so you've got your glove on, keep things nice.
Always
and clean.
Wear a glove.
You've got your lube on your fingers. All that stuff about finding the prostate. So when you get your finger inside. It's about three.
Does it matter which finger?
I like the index finger because it's more flexible, because you're going to be there for a little while. So if you insert your finger and just aim up towards the belly button, and you'll know you're on the right spot if you can feel it on your fingertip. But if you're not sure, sometimes for guys it feels utterly amazing as soon as you touch it. And it's like, oh, wow, that's perfect. Sometimes the sensation he'll get is like he needs to go to the bathroom.
That sounds just like...
Just like the G-spot.
Right.
If you get that sensation, that means you're on the right spot. Back the pressure off about 20%.
Okay.
Also like the G-spot.
Right.
And then once you've found the prostate, three really good moves. You can do the come hither move.
Right.
Which is like the G-spot.
Mm-hmm.
You can do circles. And circles, you can do big circles across the entire gland or little circles just on one spot. And then the third stroke that you can also try is like an in and out motion, but maintaining contact.
So stay in.
So like an up, like maintaining upward pressure while you slide in and out. You can't see this on the podcast, but we're doing hand gestures as well.
Right,
we're talking
exactly.
About these things.
We should take a picture now. Okay, and so then, how long would it usually, and then you just get into same thing, relaxed breathing.
Yeah.
And then they could have the orgasm like, is a different kind of, how would you explain it?
So,
I know it's so hard. I can explain orgasms. It's hard.
So one thing I do want to say is that his penis might not be fully hard. Sometimes with anal penetration, he may lose his erection, and that's probably because the muscles that trap blood inside the penis relax when you also relax the anus. So even if he's soft, if he's having a good time, don't worry about it.
Okay. And you can tell if he's having a good time.
Yeah.
If he's time for Netflix, you're like, okay.
Yeah, but if his eyes are rolling back in his head and he's saying, oh, wow, that's amazing, don't worry if he's not hard.
Okay, and you'd recommend starting with fingers in a glove, not toys. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, so that's really helpful because I always talk about it, and I think that you just gave a great detailed explanation of it. And when we come back, we're going to get more into anal sex, but I have a quick announcement for you all. I need to tell you about the intensity. Okay, Charlie, we know a lot about sex toys in our lives, right? I talk a lot about products that will improve your sex life, and there's a new product that has literally changed my life. Not just sexually, but it has extreme health benefits. It's the Intensity. It's by Pour Moi, and it looks like a rabbit vibrator, but it actually does your Kegel exercises for you. It inflates and retracts, and you use it for 12 minutes a day, 5 days. It's created by doctors, and it's amazing. So it's kind of like if you've ever been at the gym on the treadmill and you thought, you know, it'd be great if I could be eating pizza and exercising at the same time, or even, God, I wish these push-ups would at least give me an orgasm. Unfortunately, we rarely get to experience pleasure while maintaining our health and well-being until now. So we know benefits of Kegel exercises. People don't remember to do them, but we know it, right? Men and women. And even if we do them once in a while, at the stoplight or the grocery store, whatever, we're not going to see the benefits. It's like going to the gym once a year. But this product does them for you. Like, Charlie, it's a rabbit vibrator. So it does it for you.
I've seen this.
Side effects, it's brand new. I got to show you. Side effects may cause orgasms. That's how they started it. It was this biofeedback machine, and now they're selling them. And you just have these mind-blowing orgasms, and it's revolutionary, and it resembles a classic vibrator, rabbit vibrator, but it's not ordinary. It's a Kegel exerciser. It combines pleasure with pelvic floor toning. Targets your G-spot and your clitoris. It uses gentle electrostimulation. I know people are probably going, what? All I'm telling you is that Kegel exercises will help you have stronger orgasms. You'll feel tighter. It'll be urinary incontinence after childbirth or as you get older. When you sneeze and you pee, it's not so fun. And the studies show that 43% of women experience difficulty enjoying sex at some point in their life, which is why they go to Charlie. Age, childbirth, stress, they all play an active role in women's ability to enjoy sex. Intensity is proven. I mean, you should see the testimonials on the site, and I'm telling you right now that I have an app called Kegel Camp, so I would remember. I made it so I would remember to do them, and I did.
I've used the app.
Have you? Good.
I do. Yeah, right. I got all the way up to level 20.
You did?
Yeah, it took me about 4.5 months.
That's
but I did.
Great. Okay, so we're going to get back to that in a minute because I want to hear how that affected you, because people are like, what? Kegels? I can't stick with it. So I want to hear what happened to you. It also heightens intimate sensations for both you and your partner, and experts are calling Intensity the only intimate health product every woman needs. So to find out more about this orgasm game changer, visit pourmoi.com. That's pourmoi.com. Pleasure with a purpose. So check it out, people. Okay, let's go back to you at level 20 at Kegel Camp. So yes, men, this product, it's like a toy product, is for women. But let's talk about you doing level 20 Kegels. So how did you feel after your Kegels were
First off, I got to say that app, I mean, it worked great because it reminded me every day to do it.
Yeah, it pops up. Time for Kegel Camp.
And you've got to do it how many times in a week to level up? Five times within a week before you can level up to the next one. Mm-hmm. And I admit there were some weeks I forgot.
Just like everything, everyone, don't be hard on yourself, right?
Yeah, but the thing that a lot of men don't know is that we have PC muscles too.
Right.
And it's the muscle in women, it's the muscle that causes the vagina to contract during orgasm. In men, it's the muscle that pumps to cause ejaculation. So the stronger your PC muscle, the harder you ejaculate, the longer your orgasms, because if your muscle can only squeeze 5 or 6 times before it's exhausted, that's how long your orgasm is. If your muscle can squeeze 20 or 30 times before it's exhausted, your orgasms are going to last 4 or 5 times as long.
So you really felt you, because friend told me he did. He's like, I got to level 20. I know one other person. And he's like, oh, my God. And not only was my orgasm intense, he's like, my ejaculation shot across the room like I was 20 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the things that, especially men, you hit, 35, 40 years old, just like, other parts of your body, you need to work out in order to keep them in shape.
Right. People don't realize that. They're like, you're doing your muscles, doing your abs, but the pelvic floor, I mean, it can drop. Yeah. I mean, you have to strengthen it because you'll have so many problems later in life. And you already probably starting to have problems you don't even know are related to that.
And the thing I like about Kegel Camp, the app, is that it reminds you to relax. Because one of the problems that can happen is if you strengthen the muscle and strengthen it and you don't relax it, you can actually cause spasms.
Right, exactly. People, if they don't do it correctly.
Yeah, so you have to relax the muscles.
Do you still do them?
I admit that I haven't.
I know.
Although I'm doing them now.
Well, now, yeah, me too. Well, this intensity, the pour moi thing, I got it. And I'm like, oh my God, okay, I got to try this because I was really good for while I was doing the weights, the Kegel balls you could put inside. And I did. I mean, I felt like my orgasms were so much. Just like when you start working out every day, you're like, I feel amazing for 3 months. But then I stopped. But I did feel like my orgasms were stronger. I'm like, wow, this is another level because you guys lie there on your bed and it feels so good because it's literally exercise. You don't have to do anything. And then it has, it's like, and I feel that I can orgasm much quicker, much more intensely now. It does last longer, and it just feels like it's a fuller, like, G-splendid orgasm.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're always learning, right?
Absolutely.
In our business, we're never done. If we were done, like, you know, we would just be
bored. Oh, there's always something new to learn about sex.
Right? I know. What's the latest thing you've learned about sex?
Ooh, I have to think about that.
I know. Well, you're on the cutting edge though.
Because it's always something.
It is, right? Because you're on the cutting edge. So, let's get more into the anal sex thing here. Okay.
Come back to anal sex.
Let's go back to anal sex month. So happy anal sex month.
Hooray.
People are like, why do you need anal sex month? How did it start? Was it a good vibes thing?
I think it was good vibrations.
Right? Good
was.
For them.
Yeah. Well, because May is masturbation month.
Exactly. We did a whole thing on that.
So, you know, what's the other big sex act that is super popular, lots of people do it, but nobody wants to admit it.
Right. Nobody wants to admit it or talk about it or they have fear around it. So do you think that a lot of couples can benefit from exploring anal play? And if so, how?
I think people could. Well, yes, I think people can. And I think one of the big reasons is that, you know, we're used to thinking only of this one part of our bodies as our sex organ. So I think it's great when you can explore the sexual sensations of your entire body, your skin, your breasts, your pecs, your nipples, whatever. And the ass, the anus in particular, is this section where, like, people have so much stigma, so much fear around it.
Taboo.
And if you're not present in your ass, you're not fully present in your body. By definition, because here's a part of your body that you're just not tuned into.
Right.
So even if you don't find it sexually fun or erotically fun, just being able to be aware of, you know, what's going on in that part of my body increases your ability to feel pleasure.
Right. It's like another place that you can feel pleasure on your body. And like,
absolutely.
I would say sex is expansive. Like, why should you limit yourself just to having a clitoral orgasm or a G-spot? Or like, what if you could have all this other pleasure?
Lots of options.
So many options.
So yeah, I'm a big fan. I mean, obviously, but I do, but I do think that even if it's not your main focus, just being able to be aware of the sexual sensations that you might have there can be really intimate and can be really exciting.
And what about tips for women for experiencing anal sex and, like, what would you say, like, relaxing, but also what about orgasms? Like, I've had a few women, like, with their porn stars on the show, and they're like, I know other women have orgasms and during anal sex.
So here's the thing. Some people can orgasm just from anal play. Some people need G-spot or clitoral play at the same time. That doesn't mean that one person is better than the other.
Right.
But, you know, I have...
There's no hierarchy. Like, you're better because you can have an anal...
Whatever works for you.
Right.
But also, you know, I've talked to a couple of women who say that they get better G-spot stimulation through anal play.
Yeah.
Especially anal intercourse. They get better G-spot play. So, you know, if somebody says, oh, I easily orgasm from anal sex, it might just be that, you know, she found the right angle to hit her G-spot.
Right.
You know, so you can also play with that. And that can also be affected by the shape and size and curvature.
It's anatomy. I was going to say the way we're all built. Or the penis that you're with or your body, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the way your G-spot is.
I met a guy once whose penis had a really strong upward curve. And his girlfriend loved it because it was perfect for her G-spot.
Right.
You know,
she was a keeper.
But then if they were in doggy style, it would miss her G-spot, right? So you really get to play with these kinds of things.
Right, and people should keep playing with these things,
yeah.
You know, like the couples who come to you but doing the same thing. I mean, that's just what amazed me. That's why you and I exist, is to help people experience different things.
And some, like I said, some people can orgasm from anal play on its own, but if you need a vibrator on your clit at the same time, go for it.
I know, this is what I was, same thing I was talking to someone yesterday. She's like, I have not had sex in I haven't been able to orgasm with a partner. I'm like, okay, you along with 70% of, you know, women, and of the 30% who can, it's not every time, but what's wrong with, you know, God, I mean, we talk about this a lot, but what's wrong with using your vibrator on your clit? I mean, like,
nothing.
And then nothing at all.
Yeah.
Guys, people shouldn't freak out about it.
Yeah. And, you know, and I've talked to women who have real specific sexual patterns. Like, it has to be exactly this kind of touch in this position, or it just doesn't work for me. And other folks who, you know, they have a lot more options. And that just seems to be how different bodies are wired.
Or, but do you think it's because they just believe they have certain, like if you work with people and you're like, let's expand this, let's see if you can have it this way, and they go back to where they are?
Yeah, and it doesn't mean they don't
nothing
enjoy
wrong with it.
It doesn't mean they don't enjoy the other stuff, but it may just be the way their bodies are wired.
Right. Okay, so couples who are just starting out, let's say they're like, okay, we want to try it. What would you recommend, like, toy? What would you say, like, start with some butt plugs and lube before, or fingers first? Or let's say we did the fingers.
Yeah. So we got fingers first.
We got fingers first.
Yeah, I think butt plugs are lots of fun. Especially
because there's so many now.
Yeah, there's lots of them. They're hands-free. So you can combine them with other kinds of sex super easy. I mean, you can wear them while you're sitting in the car.
I'm wearing one right now.
Are you?
No. But I was doing my Kegel exercise. No. Yeah, you go around sitting in the car. But why? Why would you tell people to wear it while they're sitting in the car? I mean, no, you could.
Because it's fun.
It feels good.
If it turns you on.
It feels good, right.
Although I will just give folks a warning. If you do want to wear a butt plug when you go out in public, like maybe you're going out for a romantic Valentine's Day dinner or whatever, bring a plastic baggie so that you have somewhere to put your plug if you need to duck into a bathroom and take it out.
I understand that. Okay, yeah, but let's go back to the couples.
Your purse is not the place for that.
No. You want to throw away your purse if you throw it in there. But let's just start about using butt plugs, different kinds. There's like vibrating, there's silicone, there's big, there's small. Yeah. Like what would you?
So start off small. The difficulty with plugs, two things about butt plugs that folks don't know. One is that the neck of the plug, that has to rest in the anal canal, which is about 1.5 inches long. So the bulb has to be, the neck has to be at least 1 inch long so that the bulb goes all the way inside. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's going to fall out. And if the bulb is not big enough, it's also going to fall out. So if you want something small, check out one of the stainless steel plugs by Enjoy, because they can make the stainless steel really skinny.
Right, okay.
The silicone plugs, if they make them that skinny, they tear.
Okay. And you guys can all, you can get them at Good Vibes. Go to my website, sexwithemily.com, click on the Good Vibes banner, use code Emily. I think you get 20% off of any butt plug. So Enjoy. Those are good ones.
Those are great ones.
And would you say couples share their butt plugs?
If you want to share plugs, you can do that. You've got a couple of options. One is put a condom on it so that you've got a nice clean surface. Or the stainless steel or silicone ones, you can wash with soap and water and then put in the top rack of a dishwasher. If you don't have a dishwasher, wash your toy and then put it in boiling water for 5 minutes. Because you do want to be careful about...
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I have like toy cleaner and stuff, but even sometimes I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I put it in the dishwasher. Although, if
wait,
you...
Which toys? Is silicone?
Silicone or steel.
I did not know that you could put this...
Silicone.
Butt plugs, but not like...
Dildo. As long as there's no vibrator.
Okay, got it.
But one thing is if you put your toy in the dishwasher, make sure you're the one to empty the dishwasher.
I had this problem with my housekeeper. I told this on the show a few weeks ago. She came over and I was... They weren't in the dishwasher, but they were on the drying rack. And it was a little embarrassing that I forgot to take them off. She didn't touch them, though. No. She put them in a bowl. Okay, I got some questions for my listeners. Would you mind helping me answer?
Bring it.
Because you're the man to do so. Okay, thank you, everybody, for emailing me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. And you guys have been so freaking awesome lately, because all I ask is that you tell me how old you are and where you live. And also, you know, if you want to, tell me how you listen to the show. So thank you, everyone, for doing that. Except for Rick didn't do it, our next one. But that's okay, Rick. We're going to answer your question, Emily. Emily. Recently tried pegging, but have not yet tried prostate massage. Both my female partner and I really enjoyed the pegging. However, we are not sure how to do the P-spot massage or how it should feel if it's done correctly. I assume gloves should be worn for safety. Are there any toys that could help us, similar to G-spot toys? Thanks, Rick. So first we should talk about pegging, because a lot of people don't know what pegging is.
Yeah.
So let's just explain, or I guess this is the next question. But yeah, let's talk about pegging real quick.
So pegging is when women wear a strap-on dildo with a man on the receiving side. The word was coined by Dan Savage about 12-13 years ago,
nobody
maybe.
Nobody coined it. Awesome.
Yeah, he did a survey. He asked people, he came up with three words and asked people to vote, and pegging was what won the vote, so.
It's a good one.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
Because we needed that word.
Totally.
And so if you're already doing pegging, you've got the warm-up down. If you enjoy it, you've got that stuff sorted out. So a couple things you can do with prostate play with pegging. One is get a curved dildo. Or a dildo with a really prominent bulb or head. And then angle the curve so that it is angled up towards your belly button. So if it's curved up, that's good for face to face. If it's curved down, that's good for doggy style.
Okay.
Your partner, have her, as she's thrusting, kind of aim her thrusts up towards your belly button. So rather than going directly in and out, get a little bit of an angle
with the toy.
With the toy.
Okay.
Right. So you may need to play around with different positions.
Which toys, again, would you recommend for the same ones?
Well, like any dildo with a curve.
Okay. Any that you like?
I like the Charm. okay. which is made by Pleasure Works, sold through Good Vibrations.
Okay.
There's, because it's got a nice curve to it, and it is smooth. You want a toy that's nice and smooth for anal play.
Yep.
But really, any G-spot toy will work, because it's got that curve.
What about with the vibrations, though? Just a dildo? Men like vibrations,
absolutely.
Too?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right? Nothing wrong with little vibrations.
Absolutely. Vibration's fun. And then the one other thing I'd recommend for pegging with prostate play is... she can also put her hand on like your lower belly right above the pubic bone and kind of press down towards the bed, and that'll kind of squeeze the prostate down towards the dildo.
Okay, just like
so squeezing from the outside and the inside, just like the G-spot.
These are such good tips.
Yeah, try that and let us know how that goes.
Yeah, let us know, Rick. I want to know how it goes. Okay, we've got another one. Dear Emily, my fiance and I enjoy partaking in pegging, except I need major help in figuring out how the heck you pull it off correctly, and I'm not talking about the strap-on either. We, of course, draw our inspirations from porn and the loads of kinky stuff on the internet, but when push comes to shove, literally, I feel like I need a flip chart to figure out on the various insertion positions for each position we get ourselves into. Why does my body not go effortlessly into the sexy thrusting positions I see various vixens performing on their men in movies? I feel like a floppy fish or whale trying to figure out how to move my body to get this strap on in his hole. Is there a good resource for a girl like me to figure out body positions and how to center myself for the best possible pleasure for my man? This is not something I can talk to anyone else about, so any tips or advice is appreciated. Oh, much love, strapless in Seattle. Oh, wait, she said, just kidding, location-wise, I'm actually in the Bay Area, because I was going to say you're now in Seattle.
Yeah, I just moved from Oakland to Seattle last week.
She's 28 years old, but Charlie does see clients, too, so if you're interested, we're going to talk about this after, but you can see clients everywhere, right? Because you do Skype.
I do Skype.
Anyway, she's funny, but she's not in Seattle. Okay, anyway, female 28.
Okay, so here's a couple of things. One is you're going to have to play with different positions because your body shape, your partner's body shape, the dildo you're using. So I can't be super specific, but first thing, put a pillow under his hips to lift him up a little bit.
Okay.
That'll give you more flexibility, more options. Another really good position is for him to be on his elbows and knees, or he can stand on the bed and bend forward over the bed, and you can stand on the floor.
Okay.
But you said something really important, which is that the thrusting in and out motion, that's not the natural motion for most women who are feeling sexy. And most women do more of a hip swivel, figure eight kind of motion. And the thrusting in and out, you know, that's a different kind of core strength.
Okay.
So if you have trouble doing that for a while, to be honest, the best thing you can do is some Pilates.
Oh, okay.
Because it actually takes a lot of core strength. In fact, I said earlier about how men who receive anal become better givers. A lot of women I've talked to who try pegging discover things like, oh, now I see why my boyfriend collapses on top
right,
of
exactly.
me after sex, because this is work. I mean, it's awesome and it's fun, but it's a lot of effort. So you're going to need to build up some core strength to be able to do that.
That's great.
Yoga
too is good.
Yoga is good, but it's definitely a lot of core strength.
Mm-hmm.
And for the positioning, I should have mentioned this before. I'm a big fan of the Liberator pillows.
Oh, I love Liberator. Yeah.
Because they're firm and they hold everything. You know, they hold your partner in a good position.
The wedge, or do you recommend it? Just, there's so many different
things. Yeah, I like the wedge, actually. The ramp is also fun. It's a little big for
I have the ramp. They sent me the ramp. My place is so small. I'm like, where do I put it? It's like, it's always falling off like my... It's like hidden behind my clothes rack, but then it, like, someone come over and it'll fall over. I'm like, oh, there's a nice
tricky.
I like it. It's got the cuffs on it. Anyway, okay, that's great advice. I love sex furniture.
Yeah, try the wedge.
Okay, we got one more question. Is there anything else with that?
Nope.
Okay, because we got to get all of our... You're the man here. I'm so glad. Hello, I'm 21. I've been with my girlfriend for 4 years. I wanted to know how I could bring up pegging to her. She will occasionally finger my back door, but she feels a little weird about it, and I don't know if she will be into it. Thanks. No name, but, you know, let's call him Mike.
Okay. Hi, let's call him.
He's 21.
Mike. Okay.
Yeah, why not?
So, you know, this is actually a really common question. How do I ask my partner about
blank.
Fill in the blank?
All the, right.
So one thing, a mistake I see a lot of people make is they bring it up during sex. And the reason why that's a mistake is because you're killing, if your partner has any kind of negative reaction, it kills the mood and causes a big, big fight. You're better off asking the question when you're not in the middle of sex.
Always. Breakfast, road trip.
And actually, I like that you said road trip, because when you're sitting side by side and not face to face, it can be easier to have those conversations. It's less threatening. So while you're walking the dog together is a good time to
do
it.
That is a great point.
Yeah. So a couple of good ways to do it. One is to say something like, oh, you know, I was listening to this podcast about pegging, and I'm really curious about it. Or I went to this website. You know, go to my book's website, prostatepleasureguide.net, and then you can say to your partner, oh, yeah, I found this really interesting website. Have you ever thought about this? You know, what do you think about trying this thing?
But don't you think most women, if they hadn't heard of it, they might be like, I you know, because most people haven't heard of it. I mean, we come from this world, but...
Well, and you know, I might say something like, you know, I was reading this website about anal play for men, and I'm kind of curious about it.
Right.
Right.
And then, this podcast said it would rock my world, and yeah. I'd have the most amazing feelings.
And that can be a really good way to do it. If she feels weird about it, you know, then the question that, as a coach, I would ask is, you know, what about this feels weird to you? Is it that, you know, there's anal sex phobia and you're worried about germs? Is it that you think that receiving penetration means that you're gay, which is not true? We talked about that earlier. Is it that you feel nervous about doing something that you don't know anything about and maybe you just need to read a book? You know, so the question is, what is it about this that makes you uncomfortable? And is there a way we can overcome that? There might not be.
Right, exactly. But that you can't convince everyone, but that's a great way to go about it.
Yeah, that's my way.
That's so good. You're so good, Charlie. Everyone should go see Charlie because you've got your awesome anal sex in Santa Monica, August, we have the date right, August 7th, Friday. Yeah. And then we have, in the 8th is your...
Embodied consent.
Right, exactly.
Which is all about how to feel your yes and your no.
I'm going to be in San Francisco this weekend. I would totally go to that one. And you can find everything at makesexeasy.com or charlieglickman.com. And you're at Charlie Glickman on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I'm on Facebook as Charlie Glickman, so I'm easy to find there. And also on FetLife as Charlie Glickman, so okay. I'm very easy to track.
Very down. Easy to find, and you should find him if you want to have better sex and communicate with your partner. And do you also, I know you told me, don't you see people over Skype or you can do Skype coaching?
Yeah, I do coaching, talk-based coaching, both in person and over Skype. So no matter where you are in the world.
Because we have a lot of listeners abroad right now. So.
Yeah, in fact, I had a client who was in, she was an aid worker in Afghanistan.
Wow.
So yeah, 12 and a half hours time difference. So
and you were helping her with whatever. Yeah, great, good.
So yeah,
Charlie,
wherever
I'm so
you
glad
are.
You're here on the planet. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank
I
you.
Can't wait to see you again in New York.
Looking
we're gonna have a blast
to
at the Sexual Health Expo. Again, if you guys want to get a ticket to it and you wanna we're not flying you there, but if you get your ass to New York or you have any friends or family or people you know in New York, have them hit us up. It's a good time. I mean it really is a very there's nothing else quite like it where you can learn from leading sex educators across the board and actually like take courses on things that you care about and learn about great products. So okay, Charlie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madison. Thank you, Alyssa. Amazing intern. Thank you, everyone. And thanks so much for listening. Oh, wait. Back up. I have social media stuff too, guys. Mm-hmm. Follow me on Twitter at Sex with Emily and Instagram at Sex with Emily and also Facebook.com/Sex with Emily. There's a lot of good stuff going on our social media. We're always posting new articles and blogs and YouTube as well. We're ramping that stuff up. Okay, everyone, thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, we've been talking a lot about pleasure today, and I want you all to have the sex life and the relationship that you deserve. So let me tell you about Promescent. Okay, so 1 in 3 men, they suffer from premature ejaculation, or they just come right before they want to. They just don't last as long as they want to in bed. And there's definitely an orgasm gap between men and women. You know, women sometimes take a little bit longer to orgasm. If you just want to last longer and you want to enjoy sex better, you should check out Promescent. It's the only FDA-approved treatment for premature ejaculation, or if you just want to last longer in bed, check it out. It's promescent.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening.